Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
All right, this is episode 124 of Good Cop, Bad Cop. Matt, this is the start of a new era for us. Instead of it just being us two blathering on again, we've actually brought some interesting guests on as well to hopefully stop us from talking, I'm hoping, and actually put something insightful into our podcast. Oh, he wants to interject already. I was about to introduce you guys. Just wait a second. Go on, say your piece.
With the greatest respect, it's not stopping you talking. Stopping me talking, and these guys are very good at doing that, I'm sure.
Of course, absolutely. The newest members of Visionaries Global Media team, the Brainbuster Boys, Brett and Beaumont. How are you doing, guys?
We're doing good, man. Thanks for having us on, fellas.
We're swell. Thank you again.
And I don't think you're releasing an episode this week. I think I saw on Twitter, but eventually you're going to be our Sunday buddies, I guess.
Yeah, so I think it'll be next Sunday will be kind of our first official episode under what we call the VGM veil. Mm-hmm. If you've listened to our shows, we kind of talk about the Turner Tarp, which is kind of all the TNT, TBS network programming, the Cinnabon Gazebo. We've gotten to kind of meet some folks from Cinnabon and Auntie Anne's and McAllister's, all these restaurants that are owned by the same group. So we kind of like these big conglomerations. So we are now, this is our debut on the VGM veil. So thank you guys very much. Yeah, before our first official episode comes out.
Mm-hmm. That first time I saw, we got tagged in a post and I was like, official Cinnabons as well? I was like, what the heck? Then I chatted, I was like, what? This is totally surreal. I totally loved it. But yeah, that was really bizarre. From
and the funny thing is, you know, we got around to that because, you know, a big part of what we do is discuss the wonderful programming on TNT. So we were in a discussion with Cinnabon about Turner programming, which, you know, is the great conversation fosterer, as they say. And, you know, it just all kind of, you know, came together under the Turner tarp.
You okay there, Matt?
That's got a good cop.
Let's do it.
Good. Bad.
All right, don't forget, if you want to catch the best indie wrestling action as well, don't forget to go and check out powerslam.tv. And if you use code GOODCOPBADCOP, all lowercase, then you can get 30 days free.
Good. Bad.
So, Brett, go ahead. What is your main good cop moment for this week?
So, obviously, this last week, very heavily focused on Mr. Brody Lee, which I'll kind of get into in my spell check, and I know Beaumont's got a little bit more into that, but I'm going to start in the land of the rising sun, and we've got Wrestle Kingdom coming up, Wrestle Kingdom 15. I don't know how much you guys watch or follow New Japan. Zero. Matt, what about you?
I watch more than I used to, mainly because Mags and Conrad bullied me into watching New Japan. Not that I have a problem with that. I mean, it's some amazing stuff. Last year was an amazing scene, Naito and...
finally getting the belt off Okada.
Yeah. Okada, yeah. That's it, yes. Okada and Naito last year were fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, that was my match of 2020 and probably a top 10-15 match for me of all time. And, you know, with the time here, like, I'll typically watch those events in the morning. So I remember it was like 10 a.m. here and I was sitting Indian style crying when Naito finally won the belt because I was so excited. But so this year, you know, 2020, it's been kind of a weird year for everything, especially in wrestling. New Japan actually took a bit of a break. So when they came back in like June, you know, they've caught a lot of flack all year for, you know, giving the title to Evil and a lot of ref bumps and some kind of questionable booking decisions. However, I think they have put together one heck of a compelling two-day card for Wrestle Kingdom. You know, we just talked about Naito finally getting the belt off Okada last year. Now he's going to need to fight twice to retain it again. Versus Kota Ibushi on night one, and then the winner gets Jay White on night two. Ibushi's been one of my favorite guys the past couple of years, as has Naito, so I'm very conflicted on that match, but I'm very excited. I think Ibushi probably will walk out night two with the both championship belts. But just a lot of intrigue up and down the card in general. I think Shingo Takagi versus Jeff Cobb will be a great never open title match. Kenta was supposed to fight Juice Robinson for the U.S. title briefcase, but Juice got hurt and they subbed in veteran Satoshi Kojima, who's going to get probably his last singles match at the Dome, which will be exciting. Okada Ospreay should be awesome. I won't get too deep into it since you guys don't really follow it too much, but I'm very excited, and that'll be here just tomorrow, I guess.
I think my big thing this year is I need to watch the highlights at least. Like, I thought the fact that I don't own, I don't subscribe to the New Japan channel. I'm like, oh, that's it. I can't watch it. And then I think it's after the event, someone was like, well, you can just watch the highlights. I was like, oh, you can? I was like, oh, I don't know why I didn't think of doing that. So I will make a better effort to do that this year.
There you go. Well, that's my main good So I kind of watch a lot of AEW, New Japan, and I'll kind of peek into WWE and NXT and NOAH and some other things. But those are kind of my two big focal points, and I'm always pretty fired up come January 4th every year.
All right, Matt. I think we alternate. I think that's how we're going to do it. I think we'll do one guest, one regular host. So go ahead, Matt. Talk to us about WWE this week. I'm not calling you predictable or anything, but go ahead.
Last week, I mentioned how it was annoying to me how much Jey Uso and Roman Reigns were kicking Kevin Owens' ass all the time, and how it was really, really pissing me off. And yet, it was my best comment of the week because I want to see them get their asses kicked. Take that and times it by five, and after SmackDown this week, I want to see more of it. I want to see somebody kick Roman's ass more than ever. Thing is, I don't think there's anybody who legitimately can at the moment on that SmackDown roster without Jey Uso getting involved. Kevin Owens had two amazing matches with Roman. Two amazing matches. And yet, Roman still got the belt. And I quite liked the match this week when Uso and Reigns had dragged Owens up into the Thunderdome and then threw him off the top of the Thunderdome pretty much through the table. It was amazing. It was amazing visual. Felt very Attitude Era at times. I liked it. I want to see them get their asses kicked.
You guys watch any WWE at all? Or do you even go as far as watching highlights? I watch like 10 minutes highlights on YouTube at the most.
So I was fully into WWE for many, many years, up until I'd say about 2017. That's when I got really into, or I guess it was 2018. I got really into New Japan. AEW came along, but I watched more NXT than actually WWE, but I'll read a lot about it. I'll catch highlights from time to time. And it's so funny because when I was following, Roman was obviously the baby face that wasn't really working. And I'm kind of pissed that I'm missing this. I mean, yeah, sure, I can tune in out of the blue, but KO was always one of my favorite guys. So, you know, I'm going to be watching that match, but I'm kind of following from afar. And I think Beaumont kind of just hears it through me.
Osmosis, yeah. You and Greg Goldman.
You know, get further into what we're doing, I think we'll probably be peeking a little more in, just because obviously it's such a huge topic in the wrestling community in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Matt, I'm not sure I would pay quite as much attention. I'd probably, not that I listen to much now, but I'd probably be happing it once more just so I could be watching other things instead. All right, Beaumont, what you got for your good cop moment of the week then?
All right, so I'm going to take us to AEW Dynamite this week. And as you know, anyone who watched it saw, we had these testimonials that punctuated many of the matches, bookending some of them. Talking about Brody Lee, and you know, many of them were genuine and very good and moving. But the one that, you know, not only was that, but also kind of caught me by surprise based upon the character that's been presented, was Eddie Kingston. According to me, AEW Dynamite's been on for only 6 episodes. So in my limited run for this, you know, I've seen Eddie Kingston just kind of be this sort of, you know, like the first fight I watched that we recorded was Full Gear when he fought Moxley. You know, it was he's kind of been playing sort of a heelish guy, and it was really nice to see him be very like sincere and genuine and nice, you know, because I like the character and I knew I liked the character for a reason. You know, I thought the character is really compelling. As I've said in one of our episodes, you know, his plot, like the plot with him and the Butcher and the Blade versus Pac and whatnot, Lance Archer's been involved. that's been like my favorite story, even though it's like AEW's like C story right now. It's not their A or their B story. And again, it was just really like kind of nice, just sort of for me gaining an understanding of why I and a lot more people like this character, where this guy's charisma came from. I thought that was really cool. And yeah, that's definitely kind of the moment in the episode that, you know, caught me by surprise in a very pleasant way.
I was wiping my brow. With four people, you never quite know what the others are going to say. I knew what Matt was going to say. I was fairly safe with that. And I was like, I better have something about Brody Lee just in case neither of you actually mentioned it. Yeah. But I have something as backup instead. Last week we had to re-edit our episode because literally the death was announced within like 3 hours of us.
Oh, yeah.
And we actually talked about tributes to wrestlers, and it came over as looking very inappropriate how we were doing it. I remember laughing at your answer, Matt. And I was like, I need to make sure people realize, hey, look, we had no idea of this story at this time. Mm-hmm. There's just so much. I can't think of a single other death of a wrestler where there's been so much love shown for that said wrestler. Yeah. It's just been constant. Matt's going to interject and tell me some other ones as well. But just so many nice things that people have done. Like obviously the roster knew, but they managed to keep it quiet. Mm-hmm. The fact that they recorded that segment where his son actually took the title off Kenny Omega, obviously they made it clear, not a title change. But just the fact they did things like that, the fact that they've retired the belt, the fact that people like CM Punk and Mick Foley have said, we'll donate all our T-shirt sales towards that. The fact that you see him, Brody Lee Jr. wrestling with, Brian Pillman Jr. and that appearing all over Instagram. There was just been so many really cool things that have gone along with that. Glad to see that T-shirt sale. It said that they'd actually broke the record. It was Sting when he came back, and they already broke that record instantly. So, there's some money going towards that family. But, yeah, a total shock. And I'm glad that it was mentioned. I think it's something that it would have been a miss if none of us had mentioned it this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I had a lot of them in my speed check as well. And real quick, because... Yeah. Matt was so upset when we got started here. I didn't get the opportunity to sneak in my little joke to try and make him laugh that you teed up for us, Graham. But I was going to say that I'm excited to be going hand in hand and roasting with a big WWE mark like yourself, Matt.
Mm-hmm. Bring it, bitch.
And I just thought it was funny that Graham right away is like, Matt, what do we got from WWE this week? So let's go, baby.
He plays to his strengths. He knows where his strengths lie. He knows if he goes anywhere else, then he's out of his comfort zone a little bit. We ought to have like a big spinner or something, and it have all the different organizations land on and spin it, and then your moment's got to be from that. I probably would do worse at that than him, but at least it would take him out of his comfort zone a little bit. All right, well, for my good cop moment then, I want to go, I'm going to revert to my normal trade as well. I'm going to go to the indies. It was the IWTV Awards. I'm not sure what day it was on, actually. Of course, this time of the year, you tend to lose track of what day of the week it is, although I felt like that since March, to be honest. You don't, Matt, because you're actually, obviously, having to go to work right now. But while I'm on holiday, I'm losing track of things like that. The awards, there wasn't many, actually. There was only 5. There were some surprising ones in here, but I think it was good that some people got recognized. Violence is Forever were back-to-back tag team champions. That's Kevin Koo and Dominic Guarini, who used to appear at my local indie organization. So very pleased to see them. Bowman, I'm glad you mentioned Eddie Kingston because he actually won promo of the year for ICW. I think it's No Holds Barred. It was just before he joined AEW and he was calling out multiple people, including Cody Rhodes. Matt Tremont versus Ricky Shane Page was match of the year. That one wasn't particularly a surprise to me. I'd heard the buzz of people talking about that hours after it happened, and that was one I made sure I checked out. And it definitely was memorable, that's for sure. The moment of the year, I'm trying to look. I thought I wrote it down somewhere. Oh, it was afterwards, after the whole match had finished. Obviously, Matt Tremont wanted to talk about his whole career. Basically, the fact that he'd been working for 20 plus years. Basically, it's not the end. He's still going to go on. He wanted to thank a lot of people. It was. You could see the fans were obviously touched by it. And when you don't always get to see those perfect finishes in wrestling, Undertaker would be a perfect example of that. They've had so many false starts with that. Whereas I think for Matt Tremont, I think that definitely is. In fact, as they were presenting him his award, he was vacuuming the inside of the ring because he was all H2O organizer. So he's like, oh, wrestle? He's like, I don't even do that anymore. So he was making sure that people realized that. That was kind of a cool moment. The wrestler of the year was John Wayne Murdoch, which I have to admit was a little bit of a surprise to me. I have seen him on some of those no holds barred matches. I know I reviewed one with Mason, but certainly more of a deathmatch fighter. So not one that I particularly watch a lot of. And I think that was probably the surprising thing for me. When I actually look back at all those wards, a lot of them were actually those death matches. So you got Matt Tremont in there. You got Ricky Shane Page. Eddie Kingston certainly does quite a few of those when he was on the indies as well. So Violence is Forever as well. They're certainly a harder edge as well. So it was kind of surprising from having seen it a year ago when people like Chris Statlander were getting awards and Orange Cassidy were getting awards to suddenly go for that very hard edge. But yeah, congratulations to all those people. Oh, Ricky Shane Page. I wrote down one extra thing for him. Of course, I won Match of the Year. But the fact that I didn't win promo vignette is a straight up travesty. I literally talked people into buildings and into buying streams. Get your shit together at indie wrestling. I like the fact that he's going to stay in character even afterwards and not acknowledge the winner, but once again try and build himself. I thought that was a great bit of building for his own character.
Awesome.
Brett, go ahead. What have you got for 1 minute? Matt, your official timekeeper.
What?
Well, Graham, you took a lot of mine in regards to the Brody Lee tribute, but I thought Brody Jr. hitting MJF with the kendo stick was just an awesome moment. And like just seeing the smile on his face brought tears to my eyes. I mean, I cried a good amount of that show. It was beautiful and loving, but it was obviously tough. But just to see his kid, and you mentioned the Brian Pillman Instagram, like wrestling with all those guys, just to see him happy and having fun, like mere days after his dad's tragic passing, I think was awesome and tugged on the heartstrings. I thought just the whole match, the Hangman, Silver and Reynolds versus MJF, Santana and Ortiz was incredible. Very well done. And Silver kind of doing the Brody Lee mustache twist before the discus clothesline at the end was just perfect. Chris Jericho's commentary all night I thought was spot on. The whole Being the Elite tribute I thought was tremendous. And like you said, Pro Wrestling Tees, Mick Foley and CM Punk donating everything to the family of Brody Lee. I did buy a t-shirt. Great stuff.
Oh, what a pro. What a pro. That was perfect for time. Yeah, that Being Elite thing. I actually watched the previous Thanksgiving. I hadn't watched any. I watched 100 episodes. Man. And my aim is to eventually get update. I haven't watched a single episode since, but I saw it was all about, yeah, beautiful. Was so nice. And even better, the fact that the guys did not put any of their promotional stuff at the end either, yep. Which they normally would be like, go to the shop. They didn't do any of that. It was all just for Brody. I thought that was a nice touch too.
And just see real quick, just seeing Brody all year on that show, like showed you how great and how funny he could be. And really, I said it in a tweet, like, those segments really helped me kind of get through this shit year. Like, it was always something to look forward to, and they couldn't have nailed the tribute anymore. And, I mean, I was laughing and crying, I think, the whole 14 minutes. I mean, just bringing out all the emotion. But, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, I didn't know that side of John Silver. Like, Brody Lee said, he's like, are you crying? No, he's not crying at all. He's laughing. Yeah, it was brilliant. All right, Matt.
Drew McIntyre's three-word tribute to Brody Lee on Raw was fantastic at the start of the night. Fantastic. The cliffhanger ending on Raw, did Randy Orton actually set Alexa Bliss on fire? I liked the cliffhanger. It was nice. AJ Styles, is he going face? I like the goofy angle he's now playing. I like him. He's going face. Grand Metal League with a great week, pinning The Miz and then getting up the win on NXT as well. Fantastic week for him. Johnny Gargano versus Leon Ruff. Outstanding match. Phenomenal match. Big E wearing the Brody Lee armband on SmackDown. Not saying Harper, saying Brody. I like that a lot. At the teeth of Apollo Crews versus Big E for the title. I'm looking forward to that as well. And the last thing, of course, because you didn't let me actually say who the people the tribute was, Graham. Owen Hart, Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, I think you were just trying to one-up me there.
Yeah.
Getting it in a second underneath.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, I have 123 episodes of practice.
To be fair.
All right, Beaumont, what do you got for us for
a minute? All right, here we go. Some AEW Dynamite stuff, echoing kind of Brett with Silver Reynolds and Hangman. It's nice to see the Dark Order get some wins. They've been taking some mad Mad losses. Oh, man, you are really trying to throw me for a loop here, aren't you? but, yeah, you know, nice to see the Dark Order just get wins because their story's just been, you know, we like them. We're big Silver fans here. Their story trajectory's just been kind of depressing. It was nice to kind of get a little, you know, nice sort of bounce off that. Thunder Rosa coming out, beating Britt Baker's ass. We're also big fans of that. We love that big time. You know, I've grown to like Cody more and more each week. And grown to respect him a lot more. I thought kind of what they did at the end and in the final match was pretty, oh, man. Do I need to perform the Heimlich over there? I got 15 seconds to do it. And Jericho's commentary, he mentioned restaurant quality with Picture in Picture, which has been a big joke we've hit on. And he quoted Steely Dan, which is a band we both like. Ricky, don't lose that number. And that's 1 minute exactly.
Yeah. Boom.
Yeah.
Are you okay now, Matt?
I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to keep Matt down. I did like the restaurant quality comment. That was kind of cool. I like that.
I think I might have posted it on Twitter, but I was going to use it as a devil's advocate for you. That I'm really proud of, really proud to hear the announcement of Brandy and Cody having a child, and I hope that they name it Matt. It's a pretty easy go-to.
I take Matt, not a big Cody fan.
It's a good name.
Yeah.
I wasn't either, you know. But in 6 episodes, he's grown on me. Very much.
That's 6 more than Matt's watched, so he's basing this just on pure spite right now.
If you all could see Matt's facial expressions from the moment we started this, it's a big hoot.
Oh, I can take a screenshot. They can post these easily enough. That's doable.
Graham, your turn.
My turn? All right, well, I got some more indie stuff for us. I saw Billy Dixon had posted, at Butch versus Gore present the inaugural Cassandro Cup featuring the best and brightest LGBTQ+ talent fighting for the trophy, plus a future independent wrestling title match and more, streaming Sunday, March 28th, 2021. And that was actually the last independent wrestling event that I attended with Mason. So the fact that this is going to be done a year later, but also the fact that they get an IWTV title shot for that is perfect. People tagged in the post, Effie, Alley Cat, Ashton Starr, Still Life with Apricots and Pears, AC Mack, Erica Lee, MV Young, Devin Monroe, and I don't know the last person, Cassandro El Exotico. But certainly a lot of all those other people I already follow already, so I'm really excited for that. And GCW announced a 24-hour show later in this month. No details yet except for the time of that event, so I'll be looking forward for that. I'm not sure I'll be able to watch that all in one sitting. I might need a few breaks in between.
A 24-hour show, Graham, isn't it? Longer than one of our shows.
Whew, it's kind of a long one. I'll have to see. Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Good! Bad!
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Good! Bad!
So, Beaumont, why don't you go ahead this time and tell us about your main bad cop moment of the week?
Police brutality. No, I'm going to go with, I don't know if you all have seen this online, but stimulus check, wrestling memes. And, I think this is borrowed from just a general meme template, but you see $600 stimulus and then it has a picture of something not so great or lame. And then you see $2,000 stimulus. And it has a picture of something great. And, those have like all of a sudden popped up. I guess just for context, for those of you not living in America, not familiar with what our stimulus deal is, the government's given us money because of COVID. Obviously, 600 is less than 2,000, making it thus less desirable. But yeah, like a lot of those memes have popped up, and you know, I like $2,000 stimulus, but I don't like $2,000 stimulus memes. And there's one that I thought was funny though, that has $600 stimulus, and it has a picture of the Acclaim doing the rap. The one guy who we said looks like Russell Wilson, I forget what his name is. And then the $2,000 one was John Cena, who I guess raps. I had no idea he did rap. So I'm
he had a rapping. He had a rapping phase of his character.
Oh yeah, that's when he had the spinning belt, right?
He was the doctor of Thugonomics.
Okay, cool. I'll have to check it out. But yeah, that was kind of my. And I guess to double up on that real quick, with more wrestling Twitter related stuff, there have been a lot of fake Brody Lee related Twitter accounts.
Mm.
Definitely kind of a bummer with like not just him, but like his wife and his kid. And I've noticed tons of those have just kind of exploded. And honestly, you know, along with time off from creating the podcast, we've kind of taken time off of Twitter because we kind of dived head first into this Twitter and like, you know, really kind of became surrounded by it. Like I found myself in like every waking moment just kind of, you know, being connected to it. So I was like, all right, during this break, I'll kind of unplug, take a breather. And then kind of come back in the new year. And then I've kind of come back and all this is here. And I'm just like, you know.
Yeah. Now you follow Good Bad Wrestle. You'll be tagged in all the all the food posts and everything as well. You have like 25,000 notifications now. So that's the lighter side of it. I had seen the I saw four in the last hour before we came online.
Yeah.
Of the kid and of his wife. I'm like, why? I mean, I don't get it.
On the positive side of the ones that you were talking about, the meme ones, I saw some nice ones from indie wrestlers who will know Matt. Cabana Man Dan did a particularly good one. Like his transformation from 2019 to 2020 has been into 2021 has been phenomenal. And I saw Eel O'Neill as well. Eel O'Neill looks like he's changing his character up as well. If you haven't seen that either.
Mm. Eel O'Neill is a fantastic indie wrestler. I'd highly recommend if you haven't checked his stuff out, then do so.
I want to talk AEW, although that's our guest's thing, really. And Matt, can you stop rolling your eyes? We're allowed to talk about things like WWE.
We'll start talking about the NBA if we're provoked.
Before I saw a tweet from at Craig PW Musings, who released statistics for everything AEW related, and it's absolutely phenomenal. Like, if you want to find out how many suicide dives did Sonny Kiss do this year, you could go and look it up straight away. How many hits did John Moxley take? It's ridiculous how in detail this is. Anyway, this is before I knew about that. I can't remember what prompted. Oh, I think what prompted me to look at this was I wanted to see if Brody Lee was still listed on the AEW roster. And also if his son was listed on the roster. I was kind of curious just to find out. Anyway, as I was scrolling through, some certain figures sort of jumped out to me. Joey Janela's record this year in all competitions, 14-18. He hasn't won a single match on Dynamite or at a pay-per-view this year. Sonny Kiss, 12-20. Chris Statlander, 5-7. Rio, the first women's champion, 3-4. And one other person that didn't have a winning record this year, Sting. Well, perhaps that last one. I was genuinely surprised at some of those people that they didn't have a winning record. And I think AEW is definitely missing something with that. Some other ones that surprised me as well. Pipe Bomb Boys, this is where you need to listen up because I mentioned I was going to talk about you guys. The question that you like to ask is, who's the better wrestler, Britt Baker or Penelope Ford? Britt Baker, in my perception, is the star that they're kind of pushing on that female side. Her record in singles competition this year is 7-6, whereas Penelope Ford's is 11-5. That kind of surprised me a little bit as well. Ali, 2-0 in singles. That was another. They have people on that roster that are very talented, and they're not. You only have two singles matches in the whole year. Admittedly, she had seven tag team matches as well, but that's still not very much. Here's the biggest surprise for me, and I don't remember how many matches AEW missed because of COVID. But they got back fairly quickly. The only male wrestlers who averaged more than one win per month on Dynamite, Cody Rhodes and Jon Moxley. How do you give wrestlers so little momentum that only two male stars are winning more than once per month? I don't understand that. That makes no sense to me. So AEW, bad booking is what I'm calling as my bad cop moment.
I've been saying bad booking since they signed Amazing Women's roster, and don't use them, Graham.
Yeah, I'm giving you some statistics rather than just throwing out hearsay, though.
It's not hearsay. I've seen it myself, Graham, unfortunately. I do watch Dark, you know.
Oh, only when Lady Frost's on.
I watch it to see if she's on it, yeah.
Am I right?
I'm definitely with you on Janela, for sure. I mean, I thought he did a lot more in 2019 and really took a big back seat in 2020. And he's been – so I was actually at All In. I've got my Mark hat on here. But his match with Hangman there was like the first time I'd actually seen him, and then I started getting real into Janela from there. So, like, I love him, and, yes, I've wanted to see more of him. I think AEW Dark – you know, there's been talk of repurposing that into their second show on TNT. Like, you know, it became for such a long time what Bo and I referred to as a jobber show. So, like, anyone, you know, it was someone against these guys, Sean Dean and those folks who were never on TV. You know who's going to win. So I stopped watching it. And they've started to have a little bit more interesting matchups. But I think the records get so skewed because of that. Like you said, having Penelope Ford at 11-5 and Britt Baker 7-6, like a lot of those wins were on Dark. But yeah, thinking of what you said, Graham, about like Cody and Moxley only averaging, you know, one win per month. That is very interesting and very telling. I wouldn't say it's bad booking overall. I mean, there is certainly some, no doubt about it. But I just think the AEW Dark record skews so much. But I'll be very interested once they do get that second, like, real hour on TNT to see kind of how things shake up a little bit.
And it also seems to me that they use losing as this springboard for a lot of people. Like, you've talked about how, like, Silver, who's one of the big guys now, you know, in Dark Order, and how, like, you know, just before I started watching, he was just a jobber. And I mean, I've seen him do nothing but lose until last week's show. Hangman, who's, again, another one of their big draws. You know, a lot of these, you know, people's arcs from what I've seen are defined by just these continued losing. But it seems like, you know, they're wanting to kind of really lean in to kind of that as sort of a big narrative for these guys, you know, really kind of elevating these people who are losing a lot as well as the people who are winning. So I think that's kind of interesting. But yeah,
I'm still shocked if you push Rio as your first champion and then in the second year you book her as 3-4. Yeah. That either tells me that's not, I don't know what the situation is like. If she, even if she had an injury or something, you don't book him as 3-4. You'd have him as 5-1 or whatever it is, and then you're out injured for the rest of the year. Yeah. Whereas Chris Jericho, I'm going to say he was the first male champion, and his record this year has been far more wins than losses. Mm-hmm. But yeah, obviously he has tag team matches as well, which is why he doesn't have those wins in singles as I talked about. But yeah, interesting to see. All right, what you got, Brett?
Well, so I was kind of go along the lines of like Twitter and negative reaction on Twitter to Brody Lee's death. And what was the guy's name? The journalist Bruce something who got fired for kind of digging in. So I was going to kind of go that route, but Beaumont kind of took it. But I will stay with AEW, and actually someone Beaumont mentioned, and this isn't necessarily a this week thing, but the Acclaimed, the new tag team who's debuted, Bowens and Caster, they've been doing this rap gimmick. It's pretty close to turn off the TV heat for me, which has been rare in AEW. Definitely, I'm a big mark. I'll admit it. I'm an AEW mark, and I like a lot of what they do, but not everything. And I think for me personally, the Acclaimed has been a big miss since they randomly showed up at, you know, rap with against the Young Bucks, and then they come out, and it's just not exciting to me. It's not funny. It's not entertaining yet. Don't get me wrong, the match with the Young Bucks a few weeks ago I liked, but they've been getting pushed, you know, pretty solidly, and I just haven't really enjoyed it much yet. So, you know, I'm not certainly throwing in the towel on those guys. I want to see, but like to conversely, like Top Flight was a team that debuted, you know, a few weeks earlier, and Beaumont and I week after week have just talked about how impressed we've been. They've been in those opening tag matches that are always high energy, fast pace. So to compare like a team like Top Flight, who's been very impressive to us up here, and then the Acclaimed are kind of down here. I don't know, just something to look forward to in 2021, but I would like to see more from those guys with as much TV time as they've been getting.
I've only seen Max Caster one time. It was on Beyond Wrestling. And I love the rap gimmick, actually. But that was just one time. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it all on AEW yet. I would say same thing. I don't watch it. I don't watch the whole show. I'll watch certain bits. But yeah, I'll be interested to see how well that translates then, because it sounds like not a great start to begin with.
That's at least our thought. But I don't. And again, I hadn't really seen them at all prior, so I don't really follow indies too close. I mean, I do a little bit more now. But I hadn't really seen them, but I'd heard good things. So, I mean, certainly they should be capable. So we'll see how it evolves.
Matt, it looked like you wanted to say something previously. Do you want to jump in with that before you do your main bad cop moment?
If I could, I had to just quickly double check my facts, but I was right. AEW took 0 weeks off due to COVID.
Oh, okay.
They filmed like 6 weeks of shows in like one or two nights at like QT Marshall's school in Georgia. So they only had like, it was like 30-something% of the roster. That's when they did like the TNT Championship Tournament. So they kind of just ran with what they had. And that's when Jericho and Shivani were doing commentary every week, which I thought was tremendous. But yeah, they didn't take any time off at all. And in fact, their first pandemic show with no fans was when Mr. Brody Lee and Matt Hardy debuted. And it was supposed to be, it's so sad now, but it was supposed to be in Rochester, New York, the home of Mr. Brody Lee. So it's obviously crushing that he never got to have that moment. But yeah, I mean, I think, and Matt may feel differently, but I think AEW crushed like the presentation in terms of no fan shows. And you know, when they started having the other wrestlers at ringside, like watching WrestleMania this year was almost, it was just so weird because there was nothing, just no sound. And, you know, AEW had the wrestlers at ringside first, WWE then did it thereafter. But I just think from a presentation standpoint, I know I've gotten way off track here, but I think AEW kind of crushed it, you know, throughout this pandemic. But again, big time mark, as you guys know.
I will say, for the benefit of the tape, as it were, AEW, regardless of having the fans around the wrestlers around the ring, I was fine with that. It's them having the fans back in I've got a problem with.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think they rushed into that for sure. But yeah, I guess I'm kind of more taking back when it was nothing. And like, I don't know if you guys saw, like, they had MJF and Sean Spears like gambling and all that stuff was a lot of fun. And they were just getting innovative in a time where, you know, nobody really knew what the heck to do.
Have they always had that entrance walkway in the back and like in the background of the ring?
So ever since they've been taping every week in Jacksonville. They've stuck with that set. So it was always kind of similar, but they were going in different arenas, so it wasn't always exactly the same.
Well, I really like that set, especially for like interference and when people come out. They really use kind of the background and the foreground, I think, really well shot-wise.
Absolutely. And there was a lot of that this past week, too, with like people running out, like SCU to attack the Acclaim. Like the camera angles are so good. Mm-hmm. But Matt, again, it looked like you had something to say.
The best one of those around the ring was Orange Cassidy with his sign, without a doubt.
Oh yeah,
it's blank.
Well, can you just confirm then? 52 weeks and only two wrestlers had more than 12 singles wins. That really emphasizes that fact. I know we do think of AEW as a tag team organization, and I guess that's probably one of the things. Like Omega, you know, is tagging with Paige, so he doesn't have as many singles. But it's still surprising that they have so little emphasis on singles wrestling, which I didn't realize quite as much, I have to admit.
Right. My bad cop for the week. And Brett touched on it, because as soon as I saw it, my blood boiled. I'm not going to quote it word for word, because the guy's scum, if I'm concerned. Bruce Mitchell from the PW Torch. Anyone harassing or thinking they have a right to harass a family who are grieving for the reason why their other half has passed away, you can go rot in hell. I think I can speak for everyone saying that as well. You don't do that. I don't know a journalist on this planet who has got a, well, actually, I do know a few journalists who probably would be that kind of person, unfortunately. But there's nobody I know in my circle of friends who would cross that line. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is that they put out a press statement and left it at that. I mean, like, we don't need to know anything more than that. I know we touched on earlier about people using fake accounts to pretend to be the aforementioned Brody Lee's wife and son. I mean, like, first of all, his son won't have a Twitter account. I don't get why people want to besmirch the name of someone who I've never... I always thought Luke Harper, as I knew him, was underutilized in WWE. In Brody Lee, he was really starting to build momentum, I thought, in AEW. He certainly got a lot more, especially from being the Elite and everything. I've done my research, Graham, for a change.
Why did you say Brady Lee, then?
I said Brody Lee.
I'm going to play the tape back. All right, I'm making a note of how long we're into it. So it sounded like Brady Lee, then. Okay.
I'm English. Right.
Well, we amazingly agree on something here.
Well, no matter what I think about a certain gentleman, he's got nothing to do with how kind and amazing Brody Lee was. If his son's half the man that his dad was, he'll be fine. Absolutely. I'm just sickened by the fact that a journalist had quite a lot of respect, from what I can tell, in the industry at one point, has now pretty much burned every single bridge in the wrestling community. A lot of people, one website has reposted the entire article so everyone can read it, because obviously the torture took it down. And they've reposted it so people can read it and make their own judgments on it. I read it, which I hadn't. A lot of people in the comments on that saying that they shouldn't be giving light to the statement. Apparently, before he deleted his Twitter, which he did today, he actually said, and I quote, "I stand by everything in this article." I can't speak for Beaumont, Brett and Graham. Bruce, go to hell.
That was the bigger problem, that he doubled down. If he'd have said, "Look, I was wrong. I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done," he doubled down on it. That was the thing, that he had the chance to, and he stuck by his guns and said he hadn't done anything wrong. But yeah, a 30-year career in journalism that he's basically just thrown away for that one story.
Like that. Just like that.
I didn't realize he doubled down on it, but yeah. That makes it 10 times worse, infinitely worse.
Yeah, career obliterating like that, right there, you know, without the apology, just, wow.
The fact made that it was posted. I mean, apparently the people that were torched posted about reading it first. I write for Chopsticks and Near Falls, which is a fantastically independent run. We don't get paid for writing our articles, I think. Everything is proofread by everyone. Mainly because we want to make sure that, you know, is it worded right, is that never? Because in this day, you've got to be careful not to get sued. Clearly, this has put the torch in a bad light as well, because you can usually count on the torch to be upstanding journalism. People might be thinking twice, and that's going to hurt them. And I feel bad for the people who write for the torch, and now they're going to be tarred of the same brush, potentially. Right. I should now take Graham's role and say, Beaumont, what's your speed check for Bad Cop?
All right, here we go. We got a very cosmopolitan list here of Bad Cop stuff.
Okay.
All right, we'll start off. Are we ready? Yep. All right, so my first note here was Hook with a question mark. So I don't know. You know, he's been kind of a bit of a, maybe not a great white whale, but a minor white whale. Someone we were excited to see when he first was mentioned. And kind of when he came out and actually started doing wrestling stuff this time, I was kind of underwhelmed. I don't know. I think he got a new haircut I didn't like.
You broke him, Bo.
Broke him up. Shattered. The AEW copyright stuff. I heard you all talking about that on your last episode, and how you all were like, I think, you know, people who are kind of complaining about this are kind of being a little petty. This is easy to know. Brett and I used Beethoven's Fifth, the opening chords, in one of our episodes. And we it was fascinating to look it up and be like, oh, yeah, we could use this entire song in an episode if we wanted to. So why don't people try and look that up? That kind of bugs me a little bit. It just seems kind of lazy, like you all said. Conan O'Brien, of course. And since I've been watching a lot of wrestling deaths have happened. Patterson, Brody Lee, Tiny Lister. I feel like a bad luck charm. I hope that turns around. I'm 4 seconds over.
I allowed you a little extra because Matt was we managed to get the giggle, as we like to call it. So I allowed a little bit extra time on that. If I remember correctly from the last episode, I was the one that said I thought it was lazy. Matt didn't seem to have a problem with it.
Yeah.
No. You said it was lazy people to look things up. I didn't say that at all.
You didn't seem to have a problem with people just putting in whatever they wanted, like video clips, sound clips, whatever.
As long as they don't take the mic, I think as long as it's for creative analysis, that's fine.
And like the things you discover when you look this stuff up, like Brett and I have an account on a website called Storyblocks, which is where we get all of our sound effects from the music. You know, part of it we write, part of it we get from there. But, that's just, for us, like whenever we make our show, we just sit in a room and scroll through these sound effects and just laugh. Yeah, just, die laughing. And it's people are, who are kind of skirting these rules, I think are missing out on that a little bit by kind of, leaning into just using material that they know people will want to watch. That's, actual wrestling and stuff. And, a lot of lack of creativity, as you said.
It's a great way to start. I use it for Dungeons and Junkies.
Oh, yeah. It is fun. It is a blast.
Ryan, Graham, what's your speed check?
I was going to say, you said you were taking over the introduction role, so I was waiting for you. AEW on YouTube this week. Normally, they put the card and they tell you the matches. This week, they listed the matches but said in no particular order. Don't like that. I wanted to find Danny Limelight versus Matt Sydal, but I had to work my way through Fuego del Sol and Griff Garrison. No disrespect to those guys. No Impact Wrestling for a second week. What the hell are they doing? You've got that big angle with Kenny Omega, and then you have nothing for a second week. Don't understand that. MLW's Septimo Dragon was the victim of a hit-and-run accident on Sunday. Underwent surgery to fix a destroyed liver. He's said to be sedated and on a ventilator. I haven't been able to find any updates in the last 5 days on that, so I'm assuming that no news is not good news in this case. And last one, I saw at WWE Amon Kumar JHA post, we know that The Miz has got his contract for Money in the Bank back because he didn't cash in, John Morrison did. However, no problem when Brock Lesnar gets to cash in his in, even though really it was Paul Heyman that actually handed over the contract. So some non-consistencies there in the storyline a little bit. That's it.
Okay. That's some good points there, Graham, as always. Always some good points. Brett?
I don't have a ton here because a lot of it was the Bruce Mitchell stuff and Twitter stuff and whatnot, but I'll go to Sting. So we loved Sting's debut. And then kind of from there, I think Beaumont was less into it than me. I was just kind of happy to see him and see him keep coming out there and this and that. But it's like it's been stagnant since his debut. He comes out he had the interview with Tony Schiavone. He'll come out and just kind of be a presence. And, this week, the lights went out at the end. Darby came out. Sting came out. It's just been kind of the same stuff that they've been doing. I just want to see a little bit more. Like, yes, it's kind of nice that they're keeping it a little close to the vest, but it has been, over a month at this point, and we've really gotten nowhere other than he's happy to be back in the jungle, and he's got something going on with Darby. So, again, excited to see where it goes, but as of right now, give us a little more.
Don't think Matt's a big Sting fan from how much he rolled his eyes.
I've made my feelings clear about having a 63-year-old person come back into a company to sell T-shirts.
He sold them.
Yeah.
He did.
Yep.
I'll admit, I don't want to see him wrestle. But I think it will be cool, like, if he's Darby's manager. But, like, let's make what we have him do mean something. Brett. And not just keep coming out and doing the same dog and pony show every week.
Brett, he's going to be AEW champion before All In next year.
This is not WWE, so that is not going to happen.
I'll take that.
I will tell you, when Goldberg won the title off Kevin Owens, that was one of the things that took me away from WWE. And I actually went to WrestleMania 33 and took so much joy in booing the shit out of Goldberg. And I didn't even necessarily want Lesnar to win because it's just the lesser of two evils, but I'm with you totally. Like, I hate the bringing the legend back and hot-shotting him to the title, but there's no way in hell Sting's winning the AEW championship.
They did the same with Jericho. You can
accept both then.
But Jericho can still work.
Yeah, but they should have put it on Paige. It's my opinion.
Hey, I think the Hangman arc, when he finally gets it, is going to be so worth it and one of the best things. Long-term storytelling, and I think they're doing it well with him. So I was totally fine with Jericho being the inaugural, and he held it quite well.
Okay, I'm really pissed off about the people on Twitter who are turning the Brody passing into a WWE versus AEW thing. I mean, for heaven's sake, it's not about you guys. I mean, we've talked a little bit about me being a WWE mark and Brett being an AEW mark, for example. You're allowed to like what you like. Okay, I'm never going to stop people from watching something, mainly because I can't stop people watching it. If you enjoy AEW, good luck with you. It's not quite my thing. That's my personal opinion. Okay, Grand Metalik beating The Miz, being overshadowed by Miz being handed back the Money in the Bank briefcase, which makes me think, which one thing, does that mean that if Miz had won the title, he'd been stripped of the title then? Because he didn't cash it in. And it was just really irking on that side of things. And Ricochet missing the DDT on the apron as well. Granted, it was able to be styled out, but that could have been really, really dangerous.
I think you had a similar problem to me, Matt, in the fact that this week there's no unsure cop moment, so you had to kind of shoehorn it into the bad cop.
I had a bit of an unsure one myself, just real quick, because I know, Graham, you mentioned on your last episode about Cage Match and their ratings and this and that, and I know they kind of restructured their algorithm to a degree, because I noticed the rating system changed. Were you aware of that?
No, I wasn't.
Think the big onus, I think, was to get matches with fewer votes up the list a little further, so they kind of changed their formula. But I've been like so into Cage Match now these last couple years that you kind of get used to seeing where matches are rated and this and that. So because I'm unsure of how that current formula is going to shake out, that's an unsure cop moment for me.
Go listen to This Good Cop Moment, the King of Wrestling podcast, the number one source for independent wrestling. You can listen to him on all major podcast platforms. If you do listen on Apple Podcasts, go give him a 5-star rating and go follow him on Twitter as well at KOWP Show.
Good. Bad.
Right then, guys, this is now time for the Devil's Advocate round. Brett, who's going first? Who's going second from you, gentlemen?
I'll go first, mine is for you, Matt, and this is a ridiculous statement, that WWE had a better 2020 than AEW.
Absolutely, WWE had a better 2020 than AEW. Just have a look for 1 second. They had The Undertaker competing at the age of 55 against AJ Styles, the greatest professional wrestler in the industry, in a Boneyard match, and they managed to put on the biggest WrestleMania with no fans. What did AEW do? Bad Cody Rhodes bring out a new title.
You notice how he has no problems on age when it's somebody who's from WWE. Like, I can't stand a 62-year-old wrestling, but a 55-year-old, as long as it's from my organization, he's such a hypocrite.
Yeah.
If I can defend myself for a second there. If I can defend myself for a second. It was a cinematic match. It was no title involved.
I will admit, I actually really did like the Boneyard match.
And it was his farewell.
Yeah, well, his 50th farewell. Like I said, I was at WrestleMania 33. That was supposed to be the farewell. Now I feel robbed for having experienced that alleged farewell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will also say the Firefly Funhouse match was, I also loved. Not much of a match, but, you know, I kind of knocked WWE for WrestleMania earlier, but I did really enjoy the creativity of both of those matches.
Yes, absolutely. Right, so thank you, Brett, for that. That was absolute.
Hey, we're mending fences here, man. I love it.
Right, Beaumont, do you want to deliver your Devil's Advocate, sir?
I will do it, and this Devil's Advocate is for Graham.
No, the way around, Matt. You got to give one to Beaumont. We got to take it.
I'm getting it this time.
We've given one to us. I think it's our turn to fire one back. I think we're gonna.
I'll give one to Beaumont then. Okay, if I say I mean you, okay? I need to start watching more NXT so I can see more of Finn Balor's rock-hard abs.
NXT is on TV. TV is entertaining. When I'm entertained, I'm more likely to go exercise. Exercise leads to a better abdominal section. And a better abdominal section is apparently a good thing, according to the 9 out of 34 doctors.
Time. Oh, you heartless bastard.
That was route one, Graham. That is classic good cop, bad cop. Come on.
I mean, Balor does have some washboard abs, I'll tell you what.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Trying to fan the camera. I don't think it's going to work all the way to England.
He is my... Do you know that Chris actually got me a Finn Balor model for Christmas? Fantastic.
Please tell me it's not life-size.
No, that's not life-size. No.
How are the abs?
Accurate.
Well, that's important.
Okay. Now, Beaumont, could you deliver Graham your devil's advocate,
please? Yes, I shall. And it has to pertain to one John Moxley's appearance on next week's Dynamite. So if John Moxley should come into contact with one Dan Callis, he should refrain from hitting him from the interference in the last match.
Absolutely, of course. Well, you want to be if you're going to be a champion, you want to have a certain degree of respect, and you want to be a good role model for your people who are watching. And what could be a worse example than striking an elderly gentleman? So no, you want to focus on the angle with Omega. That's the person that you want to deal with. He's only a mouthpiece, so you totally ignore him.
And time.
That's wonderful. Slick. Yeah, I don't know if you guys, that's been like a big running joke on our show, because we caught it in editing, like during that title match, Beaumont was like, well, Moxley, he actually hit Dan Callis, didn't he? And we were just cracking up that he said Dan, not Don, because it's been kind of a theme. And we've really just driven that into the ground to the point where we actually just call him Dan on our show. And we've kind of been, for us, like building up the moment Moxley comes back to get his hands on Dan Callis. But man, Graham, I think you crushed it there.
Yeah, incredibly.
Because I had no idea. I knew Moxley was appearing, but I couldn't remember who he was facing. And I was like, oh, please, you better tell me who it is, or else I'm going to be in big trouble. And I totally missed it. Even though I vote on your page, on your poll, I don't even know that there's Kip Sabian as well. And I totally missed that one. But no, I totally bought into Dan Catton.
Yeah, and I think Moxley's not fighting anybody next week.
Yeah, I think they've just built it as he returns. I don't think he has a match. So I presume he's going to cut a scathing promo at Danny.
Yep.
Brett, the only reason I am staying up until 2 a.m. to watch Wrestle Kingdom is to prep for the 24-hour GCW watch-along that we're going to do on Brainbuster.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I got to get my reps in for staying up all night. Unfortunately, Wrestle Kingdom for the second year in a row is two nights, so I'll have some back-to-back seasoning. I'll have to just be slugging some Cafe Bustelo for days. And, I can't wait to really dial into this 24-hour show. I'm not taking one second of a break.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. You guys know how to do it, Devil's Advocate. I'm very happy about that.
All right, guys, let's wrap this up. Tell us where we can find you on social media. Tell us, like, Twitter accounts. Remind everybody what your podcast is and where we're going to be able to find it coming up.
Twitter handle is @BrainBusterBoys. We'll be dropping our seventh episode a week from tomorrow. And we'll obviously be covering the next AEW, but we also have Go Big Show and Snowpiercer Season 2 coming up. So we'll be touching upon that as well. Wrestle Kingdom.
Some new TNT programming coming out of the new year that we'll certainly be talking about.
So you'll be able to find it on SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, iHeartRadio now. Obviously, now that we'll be joining VGM, we're going to be joining other platforms. I don't know exactly what that entails outside of what I've mentioned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I just want to take the opportunity to thank you guys.
Okay, then. Thank you again to Brett and to Beaumont from Brainbuster Boys podcast, from me and Graham. For the first time this year, we're out of here.
Boom.
Music Plus Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/